Okay, Ron, thank you so much, and thank you for the prayer, and we certainly need it. And this day and times that we live in, it seems like it is just so much going on in the world. It's just unreal as to the things that are happening and taking place. And as we go, we got all this weather stuff, and we got the hurricanes and earthquakes and fires and you name it. We've got, with the help of the Lord, He's holding it together, and certainly we'd be in a fix if He wasn't. That is for sure. Okay, we're going to pick up again in Colossians 3. We left off last time in verse 15, and I read 16, but I'm going to go back and read it again because we didn't get to talk about it that much, but kind of wet your whistle a little bit there with that. And 16 is dealing with the talking about Christ dwelling within, and that's going to kind of be the subject for the rest of chapter 3 and down through 4:1. But 16 kind of stands alone here, and 17 through the end of the chapter is deals with the family and the family matters and how the family ought to see and understand and realize the things that God has put forth for us. But we'll go ahead and do 16. And this is study 105 in our study of wisdom. And today's study is the 18th day of August 2021. So we've been at this now for a little over 2 years, and it certainly has been a wonderful trip. Believe you me, I have really learned a lot, and I think maybe the teacher learns more than the pupils do then. Quite often, because of the time we put in to do this. And it's time well spent. I always put it that way. I'm going to do it like I've been doing it. I'm going to read the King James Version of the verse, and then I'm going to read my notes, and then I'm going to read the Koine Greek brought down from the Koine Greek into the English, because I can't read the Koine Greek. And then we're going to read Jack's notes and the scripture verses that he wants us to look at to go with it, too. And so that's the way we do it here. And we're going to continue doing it as long as the Lord will allow on these, till we get through these last 7 books that Paul penned. So it says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." So, that's quite a little verse that we need to look at here. And it says, to let or to allow. That's to allow the word of Christ. And the word of Christ here is not found anywhere else in Scripture. And so we realize that in studying wisdom here, but it fits rather neatly into all this because it's part of our word that we started out with 2 years ago. Let or allow the word of Christ, only here in Scripture, to dwell or indwelleth in you richly or abundantly, in all wisdom. We realize that the Holy Spirit dealing the chosen ones in their mind and heart together in one accord, as did the Godhead, deals with his love. Teaching and admonishing one another. And in this particular verse, we find again also, this is three events. And the Apostle Paul uses these three events like he uses the Godhead quite often, and giving us this understanding. And we're going to do them in order. Number one was in Psalms. Number two was in hymns. And number three was in spiritual songs. And so Psalms is pretty self-explanatory because David made them quite clear. And in hymns, are really praises to God in set to either poems or tunes. And then spiritual songs, they can be poems or odes set to music. And odes are something that you give great credence to. And it can be man, but guess what? Here it is to the Godhead. It is to the Godhead that we need to be singing with grace. And that's grace here that we find in this verse of Scripture. Singing with grace is the word charis, and it's free, undeserved favor. You can find that in appendage 184:1:1 in your companion Bible, in the back of your companion Bible. Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord or to God. And then we're gonna read what comes down from it out of the Koine Greek. It goes like this: the words of the Christ let dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing each other in psalms, hymns, song spiritual in the grace, singing in the hearts of you to our God. And you bring that on down to the more modern English, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching, admonishing each other in songs, hymns, spiritual songs, singing in grace in your hearts to God. And then Jack goes on with his notes. It says, the word of Christ is not found, is nowhere else in Scripture. The wisdom appendage seems to indicate that this word of Christ should be taken in as a search for wisdom. So if you want to look for the wisdom, true wisdom, it will be the Word of God or the Word of Christ. It's just that. Certain. It says, this accords well with the teaching of Proverbs. One should not feed meagerly on his word, but richly. In fellowship, the believer should teach and admonish one another. This perhaps comments most truly on the tenor of a fellowship in the head. Paul mentions three types of music. Psalms, those of the Hebrew spirit scriptures, are perfect examples throughout Psalms. The Psalms should not be limited only to these. The second word indicates hymns, which is their songs of praise. And the last word, the ode, is a song or poem set to music. This is why Paul qualifies these as spiritual songs. Certainly the believer is not enjoined to sing secular songs. The believer is covered with grace, lives in grace, sings in grace. The domicile of grace is in the heart of the body member. And then Jack gives us these places, three places in Scripture, but 1 Peter chapter 1 is kind of full of what he wanted you to say. And we'll start there, and then we're going to look at 1 Corinthians and then Psalms 40, verse 3. So turn with me, if you will, to 1 Peter and... let's see, 1 Peter is on page 1859, if you cut a companion Bible. 1 Peter 3, I'm almost there. We're going to look at verses 1, verse 7. Verse 9, verse 16. 179 is on this page, and verse 16 is on the next page. It talks about this. It says, likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husband, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won, but by the conversation of the wives. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell in them according to knowledge, or dwell with them, I'm sorry, according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, or the love of life, that your prayers be not hindered. And then you got verse 9. Neither rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that you are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. Then turn with me to verse 16. Verse 16 says, having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. And so that's 1 Peter 3:1, 3:7, 3:9, 3:16. Okay, we're going to leave it there, and we're going to turn back to 1 Corinthians 14. And we're going to read some of that. 1 Corinthians 14. We're getting there. Of Okay, it's on page 1719 and 1720. We're going to look at 1 Corinthians 14:15 and then verse 26. 14:15 is on 1719. Verse 26 is on page 1720. 14:15. The question is, what is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the Spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. So this is what was talking about in 14 and 15. It starts out, if he prayed in an unknown tongue, then his spirit prayeth, but his understanding was unfruitful. So that's what was the question then. Pray with the Spirit, praying with understanding, singing with the Spirit, and sing also with understanding. In that. Okay. We got that one. Now let's turn back to Psalms 40. Psalms 40 to verse 3. Okay, I got that. Psalms 40, verse 3. That's on page 756. Psalm of David says this. He hath put a new song in my mouth, even praises unto our God. Full stop. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. I'm going to add verse 4 to it also. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. So that's what Jack wanted us to look at as we look at this verse 16 here. And so we're going to go to verse 17 and start over again. And as I said, 17 through 4:1 is the effort of love seen in man's family. According to the domestic relations. And so the rest of this chapter is taken up with this too. And Paul has already given us some of this in these notes that Jack put down or put forth, talking about songs, spiritual songs, hymns, and the poems and the like. But and then he started out with wives and husbands. Now he's going to get into children, fathers, and servants and masters. Going to cover the whole bit.
Whole gamut, yeah.
Okay, verse 17. Let me get back to. Let me get back to my page in Colossians. And it says, "And whatsoever you do in word or deed," verse 17 of Colossians 3, "do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and to the Father by him." So, in 17 in my notes, it says, "Unto all, whatsoever you may set to do." to do in work, of word, or deed, or act. Do it all in the name of the Lord Christ Jesus, giving thanks. And giving thanks there is Eucharistio, to God and the Father by Him. Now there's three or four places that we need to go to here too. And whatsoever you do, do it all in the name of the Lord Christ Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. By Him is Christ. Okay, let's go back to Matthew. We'll start there. Matthew 28:19. That's on page 1380 if you have a companion Bible. Matthew 28. In the last chapter, in verse 19. If you have a companion Bible. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. That was the last two verses in the book of Matthew. Okay. Let's go from Matthew to Acts. We're going to go to Acts 4. In Acts 4, 12 on page 1584. We're going to look at 4:12 on 1584 if you have a companion Bible. It says, neither is there salvation in any other, full stop. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. So the only way that we can have salvation is in Christ. And it says in verse 11, He has become the head of the corner. There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Okay. And then, of course, I'm doing this a little differently this time. I've already started, so I'm going to finish it. And let's turn to Colossians 2, because this is the end of Jack's notes. But I sometimes get ahead of myself a little bit. In Colossians 1:12, it says this. And let me turn to it. It says, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Now that's 1:12. Let's go to 2:7. 2:7 says this, rooted and builded up in Him and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Page 1783. Then we're going to go to 1785. We're going to look at 315. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you're called in one body, and be ye thankful. And then finally, we'll go to 4:2. Colossians 4:2. And remember what we just read. Continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. All of it is thanksgiving that we just read in those four places in Colossians there. And I needed to went ahead and read 17 in the Workman's Interlinear, and I'll do it now, coming down out of the Koine Greek. And it says this, and all whatsoever if you may do in word or deed, all in name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the God Father through him. And down into the more modern English, and all whatsoever ye may in word or in walk do, all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Jack says this, your life as bought by him is in Jesus Christ our head. Therefore we should do all in word or in walk in his precious name. Thankfulness and thanksgiving are the common themes in his holy word. The book of Colossians is rich with the thanksgiving. So that's where it comes from. We see it now. We've already read it, but we're looking back and realizing that this is what Jack wanted us to see and to understand. Then we'll go to verse 18. Let me turn my page back to it. Okay. And as we read in 16 a while ago, it started off with wives and husbands, and here we are again. And it starts out with the wives in 18. It says, wives, submit yourself unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. And it's dealing with Ephesians 5:22 and other places also. Submit yourselves unto your own husbands. And the husbands there is the word aner. And husbands is an honorable title used this way, because he should be the head of the house, as it is fit. And it talks about Ephesians 5:4 again. And it mentions that which is proper, allowable, and convenient in the Lord. And so, let's read what Jack said in 18. And so we'll do it like we're supposed to. It says, the wives, subject yourself to the husband as it is becoming the Lord. And so that's pretty much the way it's given out in the more modern English. Becoming the Lord, Jack says, is a phrase which indicates what is the proper behavior of the body member. While some may beg off today on the insufficiency of the husband, this word goes right to the wife. She is to subject herself to the husband. Husbands are addressed as to their duties in the following passages. So there's three of them here. So let's turn back to Ephesians 5:22. And and the word fit was 5:4. So let's look at Ephesians 5:4, then Ephesians 5:22. Ephesians 5. You know, we've turned back here lots of times to get our understanding. But 5:4 says this, talking about be fit. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. This is what the wife should do, as it is fit. And then we're going to look at 5:22. And it's pretty much the same thing that we've read in other places. Wives, submit yourself to your own husband as unto the Lord. So you see that Scripture testifies of itself. And so we need to remember that as we go along. Okay, let's turn from Ephesians to 1 Peter 1. And 1 Peter 1 is 1855. I'm almost there. Okay, 1 Peter 1. 1-6. He wanted us to read the first six verses of 1 Peter 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, full stop. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope, by the resurrection of Christ Jesus from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though, now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. So Peter's telling them, you've got all this laid up for you. You might be in heaven, in heaviness, and don't let it get you down. And he talks about the trial of faith and how much more precious it is. Okay, let's go to Titus 2. Gotta go back before Hebrews. And finally, Titus 2, We're going to look at verse 4 and 5, page 1818. Talking about the women in verse 18 of Colossians 3. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, to be chaste, to be keepers at the home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. Now, when we read it that way, it makes a great lot of sense on page 1818. And so that's verse 18, talking about the wives. Now, the husbands. Now, this is the first of three things when you get talking about husbands. Because you're going to hear, before we get through with this chapter, you're going to hear about husbands, you're going to hear about fathers, and you're going to hear about masters. All three of these can be the same person. Just like the Godhead is one.
Could be three.
But they're three. But they're one. They act as one. Do as one. So the husband's job is the same kind of situation. So the first one is husbands. 19. Let me get back to Colossians 3 so I can read it. I haven't got it memorized yet. It says, husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. You see how short these are quite often? And it says this in my notes. And the husbands go along with the wives because this makes up the family group. Husbands, love. That's the first two words. Husbands, love. Remember that. That's agape tape. And it means to exercise the feeling at all times. Your wives, husbands, love, agape tape, your wives. Exercise that feeling all the time. And be not bitter. Bitter there is picky, impatient, or snappish toward. Does that fit any of us? Sometimes it gets to be that way, but this is the word bitter there. This is the only reference here that Paul gives against these things. But if you go back and you look at it, is someone that is not exercising the feeling of love all the time. And I think we can all learn something from that.
Amen.
Against them. Okay. Turn with me to Hebrews. Let's go below Titus and Philemon. Let's go to Hebrews 3, and we're going to look at three, eight, and then we're going to look at verse 16, 15 and 16. And that's on page 1827. And And it says, harden not your hearts as in the provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness when your fathers tempted me and provoked me and saw my works for 40 years. And then we get to 15 and 16. It says, well, it is said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation. For some, when they had heard, did provoke. Full stop. Sometimes you got to read the rest of it to get the message. Howbeit, not all that came out of Egypt by Moses. Because what they did was so against God that many things happened to them, but the greatest thing was the earth opened up and swallowed some of them alive.
It was the numbers, wasn't it?
Now this is how God looks at that. And if he did that to those that he brought through the Red Sea, give them the best that he could going through the wilderness. And the reason they were so long in the wilderness was because of what they did.
Disbelief.
This journey was not a 40-year journey to begin with, but it turned out to be that way because of man and his bitterness against God. And he murmured. And that's another thing that God didn't like. But he murmured against God. He wasn't murmuring against his wife. But you see, the husbands. Okay. Let's go back to Ephesians 4 for just a minute. Ephesians 4:31, page 1767. I want to read 31 and 32 while we're here. This is what the Israelites did, the men in particular, the husbands. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Full stop. Think about that for a minute. And be ye kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You know, God did this precious thing by giving his son. The greatest thing that he had, he gave for you and me.
Amen.
And that blood took care of it. And so they are payments to be made if it's not done the way it's supposed to be done. So it goes back to husbands, love your wives, be not bitter against them. That's a short verse, but it is so packed. It is so packed with great instructions that we always need to read. 19. We're still in the family way here. How much time we got left?
It's 9:20.
Okay, let's do the children. Let me get back to Colossians 3. Three twenty. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well pleasing unto the Lord. So the children here in a family can be by natural descent, or they can be adopted. So the husband and the wife it puts a greater burden on them sometimes to have or to bring one in from into adoption. And this is how God does us. We're brought into the family of God through the adoption of the blood of Christ.
Amen.
Woo! Were you by natural descent or whether you've been adopted? Obey your parents. Obey those that are in control. In the all things, here again, the all things. I think it should be mentioned here. According to their instructions, for this is well-pleasing and should be unto the Lord. Children, obey your parents, those in control. In all things, according to their instructions, it's well-pleasing and should be unto or in the Lord. A couple of places we need to look at here. But let's see what Jack says about 20. Out of the Koine Greek, it says, the children obey the parents according to all. This for well-pleasing is in Lord. Brought down, it says, the children obey the parents according to all things, or this is well-pleasing in Lord. And Jack's notes is this, there's nothing more pleasing to parents than truly obedient children. Obedience can show intelligence and growth in a child. This obedience is not only pleasing to the parents, but also to our Lord and the child too. Remember, the child too is in his view and can receive approval from him as well as from the parents. Yes.
Good point.
Remember that. Psalms 127, 3, 4, and 5. All the way back to Psalms again. It's on page 848. And we're going to read half of the whole psalm because there's not but five verses.
Yep.
Lo, children. Are an heritage of the Lord. So, you know, the children that we get, we think, well, you know, we're the masters of that. Not so much here. Think about that. They're a gift of God to you and me. And as arrows are in the hand of the mighty man, so are the children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. And you know, in the day and time that this was written by David, that was an important thing, because the gate of a walled city was their salvation. This is what kept them safe. And he says, happy is the man that has a bunch of kids. If they don't make him ashamed, he is on cloud nine, so to speak. And he said, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate, because there were people there that turned people away from the gate that didn't need to be there. And if your children had that kind of influence in that day, it really said something for the master of the house. Because the children, the young people, were making the calls as to who got in and who didn't. And David knew that. And think about that. That's another thing that sometimes we learn these things as we go along. And then turn back with me, and let's go back one more time to Ephesians 6. Seems like that the more we go toward the end of these books, the more we go back to Ephesians.
Yep.
And that may be necessary, because of where Ephesians was put in Scripture to begin with. This is where we started with this information. And so it's good to go back and reread a little of it from time to time. You can't go wrong with that. We're going to look at Ephesians 6. We're going to look at verse 2 and 3. I'm on the wrong page. Well, let's just go ahead and read 1, 2, and 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Why? That it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And I can't hardly stop there, because 4 goes right back to the fathers. Provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And I've seen in my lifetime and in my families that the fathers would be so barren and bitter that they would say that they believed in the Lord, but they didn't bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, because they didn't use that kind of tones with them. And a lot of times when we're talking about this message that we've been discussing for 2 years, we've come to the realization that quite often a parent is not understood by their children well enough to get these messages to them. A lot of times it takes somebody else, like a minister or a teacher or somebody else, because sometimes we as kids, and I remember when I was a kid, I said, well, they think they know it all, but do they really? And that seems to be the thing that goes on in the old man. And it grows up in the young man, and in the old man, it's hard to change once you get there. But here we are, children, obey your parents in all things. It pleases the Lord greatly that you do this. That's verse 20. So I guess we'll stop there, because I'm pretty sure we're getting close to being out of time. We'll pick up with the father's responsibilities. It even gets into the servants, because in those days there were a lot of servants in a lot of families. And that's the reason that the fathers and the husbands and the masters had to be one man with lots of different understandings.
A little relationship.
Because he had to address everybody in his family that way.
Yeah.
And he was looked upon in their association there as this man is a good man, because he is involved in all these situations and places God where God needs to be put in the family. And so we'll pick up with 21 with fathers again the next time. And it'll be 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Because I will not be here next week. If the Lord willing, I'll be in Georgia teaching some people a lot of the same things that I've been teaching you guys.
Missionary journey.
So, remember me in prayer, and that we have a good trip, and we get there, and that we share the word with some people that don't have a great chance to do it very often. And so this has come up in my life, and I'm thankful for it. And I ask you to remember me in your prayers and those that I'm going to go see. And I pray that the Lord will work mightily in that place.
Amen.
Because those people are there for a reason. And so hopefully the reason will be that they will come to an understanding much better of what our Lord and Savior did for them and for us, not only on the cross, but while He is hidden in God at the Father's right hand to give us hope of a great inheritance that we can't even get our mind around. So God bless. We'll talk to you hopefully in 2 weeks from now. So thank you for your time. Thank you for your love.